This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, for this introduction. And you are listening to the Christian War Room, and we are putting down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. That's what we are here for. And there are a lot of crazy ideas, crazy concepts which raise themselves up. This morning on the way to work, I don't watch YouTube whilst I'm driving, just to make the point here publicly, but I like to listen to some stuff on YouTube. And there was this really amazing preacher, and I'm not sarcastic, but he was amazing as an orator, very good speaker. I wished I would have half his gifting, but the problem was he was talking a lot of rubbish. And he was a black American, and he came up with some African identity thing. And the stuff he came up with was pretty racist. Yeah. All, anti-white, pro-black. Goes further. The talk was about Jesus is not coming back, and the rapture is not going to take place. And it was interesting. So I was on the way to work, and I sort of tried to. I thought, shall I listen to this guy or not? And I thought, yeah, let's listen to this guy. And just want to see what arguments he has. I mean, obviously, disbelief and doubt is not a big problem. But when we look at the coming of our Lord, I don't know. I think it's pretty obvious. We are so close to the last part of what the Bible has been prophesying for a long time, for thousands of years, that you can almost grasp it with your hands. The rapture is clear. Paul talks about it. Paul understood this. The end times are clear. There are so many signs which are fulfilling, and in a way, it's quite exciting to live in this current generation. I mean, I was born around the time when the temple came back to under the control of the Jews, when the Temple Mount came back under the control of the Jews, under the state of Israel. That was when I was born, and Jesus said it very clearly, and he said, look, that generation which will see these first signs, when all this is happening, will not pass away until all these things have happened. And again, it's maybe a little bit of a gameplay. I always had to think about this, the thing about the First World War generation. And I live here in England. I'm a German, so we pretty much, for a long time, we got blamed for everything, for every war that was fought in Europe. It's always a problem. History is written and defined by the victors, by the conquerors, and not by the losers. When I sort of look into history, I'm not quite sure whether the way the facts are presented does actually reflect the truth. And it's one of the things I'm really looking forward to. And I don't know whether we'll be bothered, but when I hit eternity, it's just to for a moment to understand, what was really going on in history. How much truth were we told, and how much has the truth been, amended or changed, or we were just told downright lies. Yeah? It would just really interest me to sort of look back in history and to see what was going on. Anyway, I was listening to this guy coming back to the point, and it was quite an interesting story. So he told that he used to be one of these stupid Christians, and I'm paraphrasing very loosely now. Will I mention his name? I won't mention his name, so it'll give me the freedom to paraphrase without insulting him. But it's just the way I've perceived it, and I'm talking genuinely. Yeah, I don't want to. I hope and I pray that he will see the truth. This pastor or minister or whatever, he talks like a minister, and he seems to have a congregation like a church. I don't think they consider themselves to be a church. There's a bit of an anti-church, and it's a bit of arrogance there as well, where they consider Christians to be stupid, you know, who believe that all this was real, you know, that Jesus really rose from the dead, and that the miracles in the Bible were real, that Jesus really performed miracles. Anyway, he wrote, I mean, when you read the biography, I tried to check him out a bit afterwards. I read his biography, and he was a singer. He was a pilot. He's a doctor. He studied at some of the best theological seminaries in the state. And when I say best, I mean, you know, seminaries which are really faithful to the Word of God and which are known for their faithfulness to the Word of God and have produced tremendous theologians in their time. And for many years, apparently, he used to run a church, and he was really, really on track. And then one day he just seemingly realized that everything in the Bible was wrong, that the Bible is just a book of lies, that Paul is a very confused person, that you know, Jesus didn't really mean what he said, that other than that, he was just it was just a mythology, and everything was done by the councils in Nicaea and things like that, that they have determined what is in the Bible, what isn't, that you can't trust anything, and he has pretty much given up on everything. And then you get, I mean, I know some of the black ministers, they're very vocal, they're very emotive in the way they speak, and it's, you know, sometimes quite exciting to listen to them. Anyway, I was listening to this guy, and he had the same emotiveness. So if you listened to him for just a 5-minute segment, you might think that he was just an amazing speaker, an amazing orator, and that he was a Christian, and that everything was kosher, and that everything was okay. But when you sort of drill into what he's actually saying, it goes from heresy to almost downright blasphemy. And that is a problem. The sad thing is that he proclaimed at one stage to have been one of us. When I was checking him out, there was a website, which I think was a secular website, and they made a comment, and they said that that is the reason for his changes, that he probably felt that Jesus has, the Lord Jesus, that he has failed him, and he ended up, you know, going into this era and drawing a lot of people with him. Okay. The New Testament warns us, and Paul warns us, you know, the very guy he, this particular person, this particular preacher doesn't like. They warn us of great apostasy and a great falling away in the last days, and Jesus talks about it as well. That there'll be many false prophets and many, you know, false prophets saying false stuff. And I mean, the guy is very sophisticated. You know, he's a very good orator. He obviously has studied an awful lot, and he can draw a crowd, and there's no question about this. He's done a lot of other stuff as well, by the sounds of it. But deep down, he's not speaking the truth. On the contrary, he's a blemish, and I can't even say that he's a blemish on the church, because he has moved himself outside the church through the stuff he's saying. He still calls himself pastor. He still runs the meeting he is in, like a church meeting, from what I could see. He has got a lot of people who just, you know, fire him up and, you know, love him and follow him. And it's very, very disturbing, to say the least. Okay, my friends, what is the message I'm trying to get across here? The message I'm trying to get across here is to be one of absolute caution. We are living in perilous times, and this is what the Bible talks about, these times. We are living in perilous times. We are living in times where there is a great falling away. And it doesn't matter where you seem to look. And you just, you know, turn on the television, you turn on Christian television. And I used to have 17 Christian channels here. I haven't got them anymore. But when I sort of flicked through the channels, the majority of them didn't preach the gospel. They didn't preach the Bible. They preached something else. There was a different message which was preached. Every now and then, and this probably makes it more confusing, you got some really good Bible teachers on there. And sometimes I did ask myself, is it a blessing or is it a curse that these good Bible teachers are on there? And on one hand, I thought it's good, because people who fall for these deceivers for those who have chosen the way of apostasy, who have chosen the way of Baal, not Baal, of, I'm trying to think of his name, can't think of his name now, it'll come in a minute, but anyway, I've chosen Balaam, that's it, Balaam. You've chosen the way of Balaam, who get into the gospel, they get into prophecy, they get into all this stuff for money and for lucre, for gain, but not for serving God. So this is one group of people. And there's another group of people who are just downright deceived, and they take some sort of pleasure in this deception. It was interesting as well, I tried to pick up the spirit which was going on during this session, and I don't recommend you to listen to heretics. It's, I find it very, what's the term? It's a big strain on my soul. It angers me, some of the stuff he's saying, because he's scratching at the most holy stuff. Yeah, he's defying my Lord. He is spreading lies, and he's drawing a lot of people. So there's a moment of anger. It saddens me. It saddens me that this man knew the truth, but obviously his heart was not in it. And you know, Paul talks about these people that, you know, a dog returns to his vomit and a pig returns to wallowing in the mud. And basically that's what these people are. I don't believe that they've ever been one of us, but the tragedy is that they never dared to come over. They were so close. They've seen it all. And yet they decided to go on a different route and a different way, to abandon Jesus, maybe to never embrace him. Maybe like Laodicea, you know, he stood at the door and knocked, and nobody would let him in. And I think this is maybe the situation you've got with these people, that they, you know, the Lord is standing at the door and is knocking, and he's not let in. Nobody opens the door for him. They keep it well shut and well closed. And that is sort of the tragedy. So it really sort of a hard bit on your spirit when you listen to this stuff, when you listen to outspoken heresy. So I just want to make this point that this is sort of a tragedy, and it's a real problem, and it's something we have to deal with more and more. And when we look at Christian television, when we look at Christian media, a lot of it is not right. A lot of it is not right. And my friends, one thing I want to encourage you, really, really encourage you, is just to read your Bible. It is not very hard to read the Bible. It's not very hard to understand what's written in there, but it's important to get a good understanding of what is written in there and to test everything based on the Word of God. And one thing we know, and on the last Christian War Room talk, I was talking about the information system. We've got an information system in the Bible that is error checking. It's coded. We've got prophecies in the Old Testament which are fulfilled in the New Testament. We've even got prophecies, and nobody knew that this would ever happen, which are fulfilled in my generation and probably my mother's, my parents' generation as well. In front of their eyes, and one of the examples is that the Jews were pulled from the ends of the world back into the land of Israel, and that the state of Israel was founded. That has all been prophesied in the Bible, that there's a return of this taking place, and it's unheard of. Yeah? There's no people group who has maintained an identity. There's no people group who's maintained an identity, you know, being lost amongst the nations over 2,000 years, and then regrouped as a nation back together. This is unheard of. Not a single people group has done this. Not the Chinese, not any European people group or anything. One striking example is always when you look at the Armenians. They were subject to a genocide in Turkey at the beginning of the 20th century, so the early 1900s and late 1800s. There was something like a genocide taking place against the Armenians. They were Christians. They weren't liked. They lived in a Muslim-majority country, and they were just considered to be as good as dead. Yeah? And so they killed them strategically. Actually, it was the Russians who saved them. The Russian army came in when all this stuff was going on and rescued a lot of Armenians, and this is something we need to give credit for. Now, a lot of the Armenians who were there and who got rescued, they moved into Western Europe. A lot of them moved into France. And again, all we are talking about is probably about 100 years. And within 100 years, these people have been totally absorbed into French society. They probably go to an Armenian church, but they speak French. They may have some resemblance of their inheritance, but have been absorbed. Yeah, the whole identity is gone. They're still in Armenia today, and there are still people, Armenian people living in Armenia. But a lot of their ancestors have just gone away, and they've been absorbed into a new culture. You could say the same when you look at America and you look at all the different nations which flowed into the United States of America. And it only took about one or two generations, and pretty much a new identity has been accepted. That is the American identity. And people know, yeah, I used to be German, used to be Dutch, or my great-grandfather came from there and there. And they pretty much lost the identity. When you look at the Native Americans, it's interesting as well. A lot of them have lost the ability to speak their native language, and it only took a few generations to achieve this. That they look back, and I know in the Sioux tribe, the Lakota tribes, that they try to place a big emphasis on maintaining and retaining a lot of the language and a lot of the culture, but they're really struggling, and it might just take one more generation, and it's all gone. You know, they're going to be completely absorbed into the American culture. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure whether they will maintain this. Obviously, you've got reservations and privileges on reservations and so on. But we have got a people, you know, a Jewish people, scattered to the ends of the earth, despised by all nations, which has all been prophesied in the Bible, persecuted, being made a byword or swear word. And literally, that's all in the Bible. That's what's said about the people. And right at the end, you know, God is going to pull them back together, and he's going to get them back together in Jerusalem and in their own country. And that's what's happened, you know, against all the odds, and nobody really knows how it all came together, but it did come together, and it was happening. And that was prophecy being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. So, my friends, again, the point I'm saying is the Bible is a very reliable book. Yeah? You don't have anything like that in the Quran. There's no prophecy in the Quran. There's no fulfillment of prophecy in the Quran. When you read the Hadith, on the contrary, it is, and you look at the life of Muhammad, it is very, how should I say, his prophetic gift didn't reach to his own demise to realize what was going on. And there was no prophecy as such there. There was no future events which were prophesied. There's something like eschatology in Islam. I'm not quite sure where it all comes from, whether it's a hadith or I don't think it's in the Quran itself. But the interesting thing is it's almost the inverse of the Christian eschatology. So their Antichrist is our Messiah and vice versa. You know, their Messiah is pretty much the way the Antichrist is described in Revelation in the book of Daniel. So interesting stuff as well, but otherwise, there's no real prophecy. There's no other book which has got that much prophecy and which we can see literally being fulfilled in front of our eyes, especially in this century where we are right at the end. So what point am I making here? There are a couple of points. Number one is the Bible, and that's one of those prophecies as well, talks about many deceivers, of many people who are apostate, who are falling away from the truth. They know the truth, but they cannot handle it. They don't want to handle it, and they fall away, and they come up with a different system. And that is what is happening. And this is, you know, this guy of this, you know, African identity thing, which he came up with, and he's now a leader from. And he's sort of extolling all this stuff, but he is throwing away a faith he has professed for many, many years. Yeah, throwing away and showing, despising a faith he has sort of been supporting many, many years before. And it's actually quite disturbing when you see this and you know, how these people can be so deceived. But, I mean, Jesus said, you know, and again, if you love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and you're worried about this, don't, because Jesus said that, you know, it'll be so bad in the last days that everybody would be deceived, even the elect, if that were possible, suggesting it is not possible. If you love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, if you love your Lord Jesus and you are his, you are his servant, and you have given your life to Jesus and you love him with all your heart, I want to encourage you and just tell you that you will not be deceived. You will not suffer deception on that scale. You may, you know, get something wrong, but we have got a great God and we have got a good God. And as we open our hearts to Him and we seek His wisdom and His truth, He will correct the errors we may find ourselves in. And I tell you one thing, that the amount of errors which are out there today, there are many. Many, many errors, many bad doctrines, many bad ideas which are pumped out into our minds on a daily basis, trying to brainwash us into something else, into believing a different gospel, but not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel that is described in the Bible, in the New Testament, the gospel Paul has preached. We are seeing that many people are falling away from those principles, and we need to get back to that. Okay, the point I'm making is really try to, you know, get your understanding from the Word of God, from the Bible. You know, if Paul says that, the Lord will, the dead will rise first at the last trump, and then we who are left behind will join him, and it all happens in a twinkling of an eye, and this is in 1 Corinthians, then he is right, and this is exactly what's going to happen. Yeah. And when we look at the book of Revelation, and we look at the seven churches which are described there, describing the periods within the church, and we can see there clearly, very, very clearly, that there are four churches, four of the seven, who will be around when the Lord comes back again. And Jesus says, you know, warns them about his return. And so, my friend, what we need to do is we need to be ready. We need to be living every day like Jesus could come back. And we need to be making sure that we put the Lord first in our lives, that we put Jesus first in our lives. We need to make sure that we don't fall for deception and for, you know, people with great titles. But they're telling us stuff which is not in the Bible, which is not from God. We need to go back to the simple understanding of the New Testament and also make sure that we read the New Testament, that we spend some time with the New Testament, that we regard it, and obviously I'm not knocking the Old Testament, but we need to be faithful in the understanding of our God. There's so much deception out there. There are so many lies out there. There's so many people who, you know, try to deviate from, you know, classical Christianity or Orthodox Christianity. And I'm not talking about the Orthodox Church, but about, you know, Christianity which goes right back to the Bible. Should I say Protestant Christianity? Yeah. But there's so many people which sort of try to make a name for themselves by coming up with some extra doctrine or some extra revelation, and they introduce occult practices. They introduce a little bit of New Age here and there. They come up with, shifting the emphasis from where it should be to somewhere where it shouldn't be. Yeah. Again, let me just mention this. We've only got a few minutes left. You know, the emphasis should really be on the great commission Jesus has given us, and that is really to preach the gospel to the ends of the world. It shouldn't be on miracles, even though, why not, you know, pray for the sick and heal them. But that shouldn't be the big thing. The big thing should be to save sinners from a destiny in hell, to save sinners, to preach the gospel, to get the gospel out there, to help people understand the gospel. What they do with it is their choice, you know, whether... I'm talking seeds now. You sow your seeds, and I'm not talking about money. You know, this is one of those great deceptions which has gone out here, but that's for another time. As you sow your seeds, which means of the Word of God being sown into people's lives, it is not your responsibility to make it grow. But what we need to do is we need to sow the seed. We need to give people little snippets of understanding. I had to think recently about throwing your pearls before swine. I think that's sometimes what's happening in Christianity as well, but that might be another talk in the Christian war room here. What does it mean to throw your pearls before swine? But what I'm saying is we've got something precious. It is so precious. You know, this life here on earth, it's like a swift wind. It's fleeting. Comes and goes, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. It's fast. Yeah? It goes really, really fast. And this is our life here on earth, but we as Christians, we have got an eternity to look forward to. And it's our job to let other people know about this great gift God has given us. A lot of we know, and Jesus said that only few will find the way to life. Yeah, only few will go through the narrow gate. And Jesus has told us this, but we need to get the word out there. What people do with it, it's their own choice. That's what they can decide for themselves. But we need to let them know that there is our Lord Jesus, and He has died for them. He has shed His blood on the cross for them. And there is a way out, new life, something they can do. And that is just receiving the word of God in their lives, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior into their lives. And then they can have a new start, and they can have a new life. They will have crossed over from death to life. They will not see death anymore. But on the contrary, they will see life, and they will be welcomed into eternity with open arms. You know, and they will receive the love of God in their lives. And this is so important, you know, that we get this out. It's much more important than miracles and healings and signs, than you know, magic doctrines, than a feel-good factor, yeah? than living the good life here on earth. So much more important. And I really want to encourage you that you embrace this and you take this on. Okay, we are coming to the end of this talk. There are a lot of deceivers out there. This morning I was really shocked. I just wanted to share this with you. You know, a guy, Mr. Preacher, coming up. There's no rapture and Jesus is not coming back. Jesus will probably come back. He's a bit older than me. But Jesus will probably come back in his lifetime. And Jesus will probably call him to account unless he repents and he goes back to what he's been preaching a long time ago. I believe he's never crossed over. He's never experienced Christ. Otherwise, he wouldn't be where he is today. So I want to put you on your guard, you know, with all these people which are out there, all these voices which are out there, even myself. Check everything against the Word of God. Check everything against the Bible. Get your nose into the book. Yeah, it's very, 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 very important. And check whatever I say. Check it against the truth. I have no benefit, no profit from this. I'm not seeking any benefit or profit. All I want to do is encourage you. And you know, even if, you know, one soul gets saved from all of this, because you get encouraged to just share the word of God and to talk to some people about Jesus and what Jesus has done in your life. Yeah, some stranger, somebody, you know, leave something somewhere, a Bible verse, a little nudge or something. Yeah. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. That's my thinking here at the Christian War Room. Okay, the Christian War Room. You can check us out at christianwarroom.com. You can listen to a lot of talks. I want to welcome you to BPN Radio. Check out other talks here on BPN Radio as well, Seismic Radio as well. And if you go to Christian War Room, you can also listen to an audio stream where a lot of these talks are lined up and you can listen to them as well. Okay, thank you for tuning in and for listening to us. I want to just pray for a moment and then we will close for today. Lord, I just want to thank you for the Christian War Room. I want to thank you, Lord, that you have warned us of sheep and of wolves in sheep clothing. Lord, that there are vicious wolves out there who are after us. Lord, who come to us in arrogance and some sort of superiority complex or whatever it is they have. They're arrogant, Lord, and they try to take us and they try to lead us into a way of damnation. And we pray, Lord, that you will warn us, that you will lead us by your Holy Spirit, that we can sense when things are not right, and that we get shaken up inside of us when false doctrine is spewed at us. Lord, and finally, I want to thank you that you are coming back soon. And I say, Lord, Maranatha, come back soon, Lord. And pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.